Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. The text for our meditation this morning is written for us in 1 Peter chapter 3, beginning at the first verse. Wives, in the same way, be submissive to your own husbands, so that even if some do not obey the word, they might be won over without a word by the behavior of their wives, as they observe your respectful and holy behavior. Do not let your beauty be something outward, such as braided hair or wearing gold jewelry or fine clothes. Rather, let your beauty be the hidden person of your heart, the lasting beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is precious in God's sight. In fact, this is also how the holy women of the past, who put their hope in God, made themselves beautiful. They were submissive to their own husbands. Just as Sarah obeyed Abraham and called him Lord, you are her daughters if you do what is good, and do not fear anything that is intimidating. Husbands, in the same way, continue to live with your wives with the knowledge that as the wife, she is the weaker vessel. Also continue to accord them honor as fellow heirs with you of the gracious gift of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. So far our text, let us pray. Heavenly Father, we have once again gathered in your name to hear your holy word. We pray that you would speak to us through it, dispel our doubts and fears, increase our faith and our assurance that you love us and forgive us for Jesus' sake. Sanctify us then by the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Please be seated. In Jesus the Christ, dear fellow redeemed. The wife, let's call her Sue, met me in my office. She was in her mid to late 20s, and her husband and her had had a fight, and the husband had stayed a night at a friend's place. Her husband was addicted to porn and wasn't really interested in sex with her. So you can imagine how that made that young lady feel. She knew that her marriage was falling apart. And after the fight last night, she thought it was over. She came to me, you might say in desperation. And during the course of our conversation, I shared the very words of our text with her. We discussed them at length, and she came up with a plan. She resolved that she would be respectful to her husband. If the conversation didn't seem to be going well, if she could sense that something's not quite right, her strategy was, I will immediately ask if I have been disrespectful. If I have, I will apologize and ask for his forgiveness. Her strategy was simple. It wasn't based just on the imperatives, the commands of our text. No, there was something much deeper at work in that young lady that day. It was a bold trust in God. She was going to lay aside all her fears and simply trust God to guide her and to save her marriage. Some might look at her strategy as one of weakness. I can tell you as a pastor that day, I did not see a weak woman. I saw a lioness. Someone that was going to cling to God no matter what the earthly circumstances were. She would trust that God would work. And he did. As I met with her in the coming weeks and months, she would report on their progress. She would often say how many times she had to correct herself and to apologize to her husband. But he was responding. He had become open to her influence. He'd even sought help for his porn addiction. Their marriage was being saved. All because she resolved to cling to God and his word. It wasn't weakness. It was strength. God in our text is speaking to husbands and wives and encouraging them. If you were to look at the Greek text, there's a present imperative. So the idea of continuing to do these things. Peter wasn't writing to correct the behavior of his hearers. He was encouraging them to continue to do what they were doing. And there are times that we need that encouragement. There are definitely times we need correction. And I can tell you, as I met with that young lady through the weeks afterwards, it was to encourage her to continue to do what she was doing. Now, it definitely helped that God was obviously working. Why do we need this encouragement today? It's because the world has a very different message for how husbands and wives are to act. The thought of submission is seen as weakness. It's seen as a statement of inequality. But you'll notice what our text says in connection with husbands and how they are to view their wives. It says, as co-heirs. Co-heirs. It's not a difference in value. It's a difference in role and service. If we were to look back before the text, our text actually talks about slaves and submitting to their masters. That's definitely a subservient role. And then our text jumps in and says, in the same way, wives are to submit to their husbands, a subservient role. But notice what it says about husbands. In the same way. The role of husband and wife is to be a subservient role. One where the husband is the head and the leader, but leading for the good of the wife. Our modern Marxist ideology looks at marriage as a power struggle. And to be subservient is to be weaker and lesser. That is not the model for Christian marriage. It is not about power. It is not about control. It's about service. husbands asking, Lord, how can I serve my wife? How do you want me to serve my wife? And wives asking, Lord, how do you want me to serve my husband? It's difficult because both husband and wife are broken sinners. And so this is something that we need continued encouragement to live out. But God isn't asking you to do anything that He isn't willing to do also. Think of Jesus, equal with the Father in majesty, glory, eternality. And yet, what did He do? The very Son of God submitted Himself to the will of the Father, took on human flesh, suffered and died for humanity. So often in the Gospels we read that Jesus was doing the will of His Father. And in doing so, He was even submitting to you, to your need. And so He willingly bore your sins on the cross. He willingly met your need to have someone suffer and die for you. He willingly laid aside His glory so that He could love you in the way that you needed to be loved. And the way that God the Father had deemed that He loved you. And so through His subservience, all of your sins are forgiven. You have been reconciled to God. You're co-heirs of Christ. So now the question remains, how are you going to live in this status of forgiven, redeemed, heirs of heaven? How are you going to live today? And God's encouragement for faithful husbands and wives is to love each other and serve each other according to His will. So may God bless your marriages and your desire for future marriages. And may you, like that lioness in my office that day, resolve to cling to God and His will and allow God to save and bless your marriages. To Him be the glory, now and forever. Amen. Please stand for the blessing. And now may the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus until life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we come to your throne of grace acknowledging our failure to live out our vocations in all the relationships that you give us. Sin has wrecked us, and it's wrecked our human relationships. Especially our marriages have come under attack. Satan would love nothing more than to destroy our family units. Lord, we thank you that you have given us your word. Help us to trust you. Grant us a richer measure of your Spirit, that we would humbly and simply cling to your word. Guide us in our earthly lives, that we would carry out your will. Help us to trust that you will work out all things for our good. Especially help us to cling to your word of forgiveness, that we can know through Jesus' subservience all of our sins are forgiven, and we are your dearly loved children. Bless us to these ends, for Jesus' sake. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.